My favorite part of these calls is having the opportunity to come together in sacred circle of divine energy. So let's take a few deep breaths together and step into this sacred circle. It is the sacred circle of Archangel Gabriel today as we are guided into soul purpose meditation. I'm your host, Kimberly Maroney. And I can't wait to get to know you better in this wonderful state of connection. We are far more connected than we know. At the soul level, we know each other intimately and love each other deeply. So as you breathe, drop within. Sink. Let go of the cares of the day and life, and give yourself this blessed opportunity for a few precious moments in the embrace of divine love. Ah, here we are. I feel us coming into divine circle together. Can you feel us all? We're in a circle, embracing each other in love. And all around us, surrounding each one of us, is our personal team of angels, our guardian angels, and the other angels who are helping us at this time. Can you feel your team of angels? Ask them to give you some kind of symbol or feeling or knowing or vision or something to let you know that they are there, that they are here with you. The angels have given us a special dispensation to hold these classes outside of time. So whenever you are listening, know that your soul is in this circle with us now, that you are here. That even if you learn about this moment later in time, your soul knew and you are here with us now. Can you feel your presence in the circle? Can you feel the others and how much love there is? I wanted to start the day by telling you a little bit more about my story and my own experiences with receiving my soul calling. And as I do this, I'm going to answer a few of the questions that have come in through the question box. So, where to begin? Long ago now, it's probably about 20 years ago now, I had a wonderful life. I was a newlywed. I had a wonderful husband. He was very loving. We had the most extraordinary marriage. We had a new house out in the country. He was a Mercedes-Benz dealer, so I had my new Mercedes-Benz and he had his. I was a financial planner then. I was beautiful and young. Well, I still am beautiful, but not so young anymore, young in heart. I was the senior compliance officer and the senior financial planner for what was then the new financial planning business. I supervised and trained 32 field agents. I was the chair of a board of half a dozen specialists who worked on each financial plan. It was a big job, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. You can just imagine me just really cute with my blonde hair and my little short mini skirts and my high heels and my briefcase coming to work every day. I had beautiful suits that were silk and satin and just gorgeous, tight and cute. And my feet started to hurt. So that wasn't any big deal, but they hurt enough where I eventually gave up my high heels that I loved so much. I thought it was the end of life going to flat shoes. I thought they were the ugliest things I'd ever seen in my life. But I was in so much pain, I did that. I let go of my high heels and adjusted. And I continued working. I was happy. Next, my stomach started hurt. I couldn't eat anything. Everything I was allergic to, everything made me sick, gave me intense abdominal cramping. So much pain that I had to let go of my really cute, tight little mini skirts and get blousy, comfortable, very loose, baggy pants. Again, I thought it was the end of life when I made this choice, but I adapted, had my flat shoes now, my baggy clothes, and I was more comfortable for a while. Then I got really intense migraine headaches where I ended up often 5 or 6 days in bed with a pillow over my head because every sound and light pierced my head like a bullet with just excruciating agony. But then I could work through those and I continued to work and everything seemed, you know, I kept adjusting. Finally, after a particularly difficult weekend, I came into work on a Monday morning. We'd completed a financial plan, and we always reviewed the plans with the planning council before they went out to the clients. So I had the plan in my hand. I was standing up in front of the room with my 6 specialists seated all around me at the table, looking at the plan. And as I was looking at the words and the numbers on the page, I couldn't read them. I could recognize individual numbers and letters, but over the weekend, my brain had, interestingly enough, lost the capacity to group them together into words or anything that made sense. So while these letters and numbers looked familiar, I couldn't tell you what they said to save my life. It was one of the most horrifying experiences I've ever had in my life, if you can imagine suddenly forgetting how to read after a lifetime of being scholarly and smart. I was brilliant. Thank God I was brilliant to start with. Well, that was not something I could work around anymore. I couldn't adjust. There was no more adjustment to not being able to read, and it was clear that something major was wrong that needed my attention. I went out on disability. Since I was a financial planner, I had a disability policy. They taught me in my training that you need to have what you're trying to sell. You have to believe in it. So I had my first experience of going out on disability myself and, thank God, using my disability insurance. When I got home, my beautiful, wonderful husband, whom I love very dearly, said, "Oh, honey, you're just tired. A couple of months rest and you'll be good as new." Well, it didn't go that way. 2 years later, my health had fallen apart. Nothing was working. My organs didn't work. Everything was a mess. I was in excruciating agony. I'd been through 15 different doctors, and nobody could figure out what was wrong. In fact, several of the doctors suggested that I have psychiatric counseling, which, right, yes, One of those doctors, I said, "Well, what does it mean to you when you have a bad day?" And he said, "Well, for me, a bad day is when I have some things resolved at the end of the day that I didn't know what to do." And I said, "Well, for me, a good day is when I can actually get out of bed and drive my car over here to see you long enough for you to tell me you can't help me, that's a good day. So here I was 2 years later, practically dead. I couldn't function. Well, I could walk a little bit. I could still feed myself. You know, that was a big deal. I could think a little bit. I couldn't read. I had too much pain to be able to watch TV. Basically, all I could do was lie on the sofa and suffer and pray. That was about all that was left to me, was to lie on the sofa and pray. So one day, here I was on the sofa. I was listening to Music to Disappear Into by Raphael. And this prayer came out of me that I don't know where it came from, but this was my first real experience of deep surrender. In the deepest surrender of my life up to that moment, I begged God. I've talked about begging a little bit in a couple of other of these segments, and I know some of you are in a similar state where you're in health crisis or you're in job or financial crisis. We come to a place where there's nothing left to do but beg God. There is no help anywhere else. There's nowhere else to turn. We can only turn to God, and the only thing left to us is in deep prayer. Just beg. Well, that's what I was doing this day on the sofa. I still remember that prayer. I begged God. I said, please, I don't care what you do with me. Just take me home now. I don't care what that means. I must be in your embrace now. And I meant it. I actually wanted to die, but I didn't ask for that. There was a part of me that knew that my ego was causing the problem, and that I needed to surrender that ego and place myself completely in God's hands. That was the only solution, and so I did. I literally let go of my life, of everything I had ever wanted, everything I ever thought was important, my husband, my house, my car, everything. In that moment, I let go of everything, and I said, I begged, God, just take me now. I don't care what that means. That prayer was so deep and so sincere that it was answered in a very remarkable way. My inner vision opened. It was as if the ceiling in my house disappeared and I could see millions of celestial beings, millions of angels. They came into my living room. And they held me in an embrace of love that was way beyond anything I ever thought possible before. In this embrace of love, I sobbed, giving thanks to have this love. And as I sank into the deep peacefulness and the ecstasy of this eternal love, I received a knowing of a request. The angels were asking me to create a bridge to spirit. This was how I received my soul calling, in this request, being held in the magnitude of millions of angels to create a bridge to spirit. My little mind, as it's hearing this request, is saying, you know, I still remember the words, are you nuts? You can't even get off the sofa. You think you're going to do something? But the greater part of me was able to shush that away, kind of like shooing flies away, and continue to be in this experience of loving embrace. In this loving embrace, I felt being downloaded or implanted or infused into me the knowing of everything I needed. I felt in that moment as if I was receiving everything needed to go forward, even though I didn't have a clue what this bridge to spirit was. I had not an idea. But my soul wholeheartedly said yes. I could feel it screaming within me, yes, yes, yes. And as the angels departed from this wonderful embrace of love, what lingered was the deep state of peace. And the other really interesting side effect was that while the angels were with me, the pain left. And actually, after that experience, the pain level remained reduced enough where I could function a little bit. Shortly later, I think it was within a week or so, this doctor referred me to someone else who was able to diagnose and treat my condition. It still took about a year for me to recover enough to where I was able to start working. But gradually, with good treatment, my cognitive abilities started to return. I remembered how to read. It took quite a long time for me to get math skills back, but the reading skills came back very quickly, and since I couldn't be a financial planner anymore, I didn't seem to need the math skills so much. I could still manage my checkbook a little bit with the help of a calculator. Although I did have trouble writing checks for quite a while, I remember just trying to write simple numbers was tough. Well, anyway, so here I was in this moment, receiving the major duties of my spiritual path, my spiritual destiny. It's not like that for most of us. And as I've grown into my spiritual destiny, I've been very blessed to be guided along the way. And that guidance has taken a number of different forms. That bridge to spirit eventually became angel blessings cards of sacred guidance and inspiration. Some of you may know them and love them, and hopefully they'll be available again in the future. They're out of print right now, and I'm working to resolve that so that they're back in print again. But these beautiful angel blessings cards were the result of that vision and that bridge to spirit. So, as I was going along in my life, that wonderful husband died. I made some really bad choices out of fear and pain and lost the money that I had and once again became sick. So here I am a second time. The first time it was 6 years, the second time it was 4 years, plunged into this darkness. The connection that I had was gone. Everything I knew of myself was gone. I'd lost everything, and I was sick and couldn't function again. And this time, I even lost the ability to walk and feed myself and could barely even speak. So talk about being reduced to about as low as you can get in life. Spirit has stripped me down like this twice, so I am intimately familiar with this stripping away process, where actually, a lot of my memory was erased in the process too. So that's why I said earlier, it's a good thing I was really smart to start with, because I've lost quite a bit along the way in this stripping away process. But what I've come up with though is a deepening of soul experience, a deepening of soul connection, a deepening of my purpose and knowing who I am and what I'm here to do. And so I don't want to scare those of you who are in a happy, good life and things are going well, but there are a lot of you who are listening on this call who are in a difficult, difficult time. And that's why I'm sharing these stories for you, to let you know that when your soul is rising to the surface to call you into service, when your soul is desiring to become the primary guiding force in your life, some of us go through these stripping away periods where who we thought we were and what we thought was important is being stripped away. This is part of being called. I'm sorry to say, but this is part of being called. And so if you're in one of these moments, I hope that you take great comfort and encouragement in hearing this, because you are being called to deep soul connection and life purpose. It's just coming in another way that most of us haven't known how to recognize. I think that the angels gave me the experience so that I could guide others who are in this place, and it was also necessary for me. It was necessary for me to go through that stripping away process so that I could let go of who I'm not and discover who I truly am. So this time of year, as we're approaching Easter, the energies of spirit are very strong. They've been coming in. They started when Lent began, and they're increasing in their intensity. If you're feeling a little overwhelmed or kind of out of your body, or you're feeling joy, you're feeling ecstasy, tremendous energy, agitation, these are all symptoms of this increased energy that's coming in for Easter. So I scheduled today's program, our Soul Purpose Meditation, to help us prepare. And I've also scheduled another program for next Monday that's even more specific, drawing in more of these energies. And on your webinar page, you'll see on the bottom there's a little link that says, what does it say? There's three. There's one that says the Angel Ministry. Oh, here, I've got it here. It says Easter Meditation. You can click on that Easter Meditation and sign up for next week because it's outside of this series. So, Archangel Gabriel, what's his part in all of this? Traditionally, in the Bible and in other scripture, it's Archangel Gabriel who often announces the major duties of our spiritual destiny at the calling of our soul. I don't know if it was Archangel Gabriel who came to me in that calling for angel blessings cards. I know he was one of the first angels who came to me. The Angel of Surrender was first teaching me how to surrender. The Angel of Prayer was at that first experience teaching me how to pray deeply from my soul. And the Angel of Healing, Gabriel, guided my healing. And it was Archangel Gabriel who helped me bring to life the parts of my true being that were dead to my personality, to Kimberly in life. It was Gabriel who helped me step into my calling and discover who I truly am. So I want to tell you a little bit more about Archangel Gabriel. He is the angel of resurrection. He's the voice of God and the bringer of good news. It was Archangel Gabriel who appeared to Mary to bring the remembrance of her mission with Jesus. It was Archangel Gabriel who watched over the prophet Muhammad and inspired Joan of Arc and influenced Zoroaster. When you're ready, your soul calls Gabriel to come and announce the major duties of your spiritual destiny. Sometimes this comes in a dramatic experience like I had, and other times it comes in more subtle, more difficult to discern ways. And for most of us, that's how it is in life. To resurrect something means to bring it to life again. So usually when we think of resurrecting, we think of something that appeared to be dead and it's being resurrected or brought back to life. Jesus was an example of that. Jesus appeared to be dead and yet he was resurrected and brought to life again. So what is it in you that needs to be brought to life? Another way to look at it is through nature. In the winter, many trees and bushes die back and they look like they're dead, right? They're just sticks. But in the spring, they're resurrected as new life flows through them. The leaf buds come out, they flower or fruit or do whatever they're going to do. They come back to life, they thrive. And so it is the natural cycle of life. Parts of us come to life and thrive and parts of us are dying. The parts that we don't need anymore, the parts that are no longer us, we need to let them die. And the parts that want to come to life from our soul that we haven't known yet in our awakened consciousness, those are the parts that are being rebirthed. So resurrection is about birthing our true eternal qualities as we let the parts of our ego that we no longer need, as we let those parts die. And that's what today is about. It's about learning to recognize this cycle that's happening in you. What's ready to go? What's ready to die for you to walk away from? And what's ready to be rebirthed? It's the cycle of birthing and deathing ourselves through life. kind of a funny way to put it, but that's just exactly what happens. Now, often this is happening in our life, and it's reflected in both the things that we love and the parts of life that we don't like. And so this brings us to some of the questions we had. Kathleen in Washington, D.C. was saying, well, let me just read to you her question. Kathleen said, I would be grateful if you could talk about soul purpose in relation to what happens when, as a child, you have a strong desire to follow a certain path, as a dancer, for example, and all the doors seem closed to it. And looking back on your life, you see how it didn't seem to be in the cards, and yet you had such a strong soul desire and love for that path, and still do. She says, I felt very led for the first 40 years or so of my life in a direction I would not have foreseen or imagined, and now it almost seems as though there is no divine plan to it at all. I'm not sure where it all led or was leading, and I'm feeling tired and almost lost. I gave so much of my heart, soul, life, and now I'm having trouble finding the energy, inspiration, joy to forge a new path, especially without a specific goal or vision. I wanted to read this one from Kathleen because it so closely mirrors my own personal experience, it's easy for me to talk about. Like Kathleen, I grew up feeling a strong calling into music. I played the flute. I have a bachelor's degree in flute performance. I was quite an accomplished flutist. And I was just starting my professional career. I wanted to be an orchestral flutist. I was a performer. I was very good. Just starting my professional career, I started having pain in my right hand. The pain got so great that 5 minutes into playing, I had to stop because it was so great. I loved music, and I eventually had to give up playing the flute completely. I tried to retrain. I tried all kinds of different things, but at the time, this was 25 years ago, there wasn't a lot of other options. There weren't a lot of alternative options available to me, and I had to just give it up. Now, I had been playing 6-7 hours a day, so to go from being totally devoted and inspired by music, playing 6 and 7 hours a day, to having to completely step away from it was, like Kathleen is describing, a huge shock to my soul. I didn't know what to do. My ego, Kimberly, didn't know what to do. I didn't have a clue. That's when I became a financial planner. I thought, well, you know, if I can't do what my soul's calling me, I might as well at least make money. So I switched over to making money, but then after 15 years of that, my soul decided that that was the end of that, and that's where illness came along to help me make this particular change, that I was unwilling to see or do any other way. So often the circumstances in our lives are guiding us in the direction we need to go, but they're guiding us in ways that is impossible for us to recognize without some help. This hasn't been common knowledge. Nobody else is talking about this very much. How to recognize what's happening in your life as the signposts for where your soul is guiding you. And it's a very interesting discovery to learn that the things that we like least in life are actually guiding us toward our soul destiny. It takes a little bit of effort, though, and some time and patience and perseverance to work through and discern what these guideposts are, what they're telling us in the direction to go. But it's not impossible. And that's the purpose of our soul-guided, angel-guided soul purpose meditation today, to begin to look at both what's happening in your life that brings you joy, that you love, take what you know about your soul purpose, and look at what else is happening in your life that might also be providing some other clues. And this brings us to our next question from Beverly in Toronto. Beverly says, once learning of our major duties of our spiritual destiny and the calling of our souls through the angels, such as Gabriel, is the time and the means to enter into our calling also given? It seems that oft times our lives are already filled to the brim with the responsibilities of our day-to-day lives and families. So does it mean dropping all past obligations and duties in order to make time and space for our newly discovered soul duties? So that's Beverly's question. What a fabulous question that is. Again, I can't give a blanket statement that applies to everyone. You have to see what it is for you. Sometimes it's just finding ways to incorporate this new calling into what you're already doing. Sometimes it's a change of perspective or a change of attitude. It's bringing an attitude of more loving care into what you're already doing sometimes. And sometimes we do need to walk away from what we were doing. We do need to drop all past obligations and make a space for this new calling. I'm going to give you an example from my own life that pretty clearly illustrates this. I've been called to do an angel ministry for a couple of years, and I could not see how to make it work because I've been struggling for years financially. This has been one of the recurring themes in my life. And so designing the angel ministry and bringing it to life is a big deal. It's a huge 7-month program on my side of creating the curriculum, creating the parts, designing it, getting everything scheduled, doing all of the work that it takes to get it launched. And so for a long time, I couldn't see how I could possibly make it work. But I trusted. And about a year ago, the pieces started coming together pretty magically. My friends started telling me, you have to do this. You have to just trust and do it. Judith Larkin Reno refreshed my memory that she had offered to me the Gateway University and community through which we could do university credit and also do the ordination for the ministers so that they could legally do weddings and other ministerial sacraments and pastoral counseling. So the pieces slowly came together, but I still was having to focus every moment on how to have enough money to go to the grocery store and pay my rent for the next, you know, have the next meal on the table and pay my rent. And finally, I just had to let go, stop struggling, take the time off. Somehow we just worked it out, and beautifully, magically, mysteriously, the angel ministry just came through in ways that blew my mind and continue to astonish me. And so, like Beverly's saying, yeah, I just had to drop everything and take 2 months off to let this angel ministry come in and suffer some financial consequences and say, oh, well, moving on. But once I announced it, the response has been so miraculous, so heartwarming, so nurturing. The moment I was able to open the angel ministry to enrollment, the people just started coming, and many of you are on the call today. I'm happy to have you here, my beautiful new angel ministry students. Some of you are feeling this call in your heart. You may not know it yet. So it's up to you to search through the clues that you're being given to discover how you're being guided into your soul purpose. In just a minute, I'm going to open the phone lines and take some more questions. This is a wonderful time to type your questions into the Q&A box on the screen, and I'm also going to take some questions on the phone. I see some of you are already doing that now that I just refreshed my screen. So let me take a few of these from the question and answer box, and then I'm going to open the phone lines. Before I do that, we have a lot of people on the call. So you can help us out to keep the line quiet by muting your telephone. To go on mute, you simply press *6, and to unmute yourself to speak, you'll press *7. So right now, if everyone on the phone could press *6 or mute yourself if that's a function on your telephone, please do that. And then in a moment, after I answer these few questions, we're going to open the call up. And at that point, if you want to speak, you can press *7 to unmute yourself. And we need to do this to keep the line quiet, otherwise it'll be very loud. So while you're figuring out how to *6 mute yourself, let me take a peek at these questions. Oh, Wendy in Auburn has an excellent question. She says, how to know the difference between divine timing and human effort to make things happen now? I'm launching a new business, and of course I want it going as soon as possible. I'm having a difficult time just doing the work and releasing my expectations and timing to the universe. What a good question. The divine timing for the angel ministry was definitely now. That came as a very clear signal, and ready or not, here it is, you know, from my perspective. And I'm also being given everything I need at just the moment I need it for the angel ministry. So I completely trust in that. And I also need to do human effort. I need to know, I need to do my part as it as I become aware of what I need to do. I need to do that. So there's a balance between trusting in the divine, trusting in the timing of the universe, and making our human effort. And the only way we can know that is through our prayer and meditation and just doing everything we can. So Wendy, I encourage you to ask that question. There's a beautiful dance between the giving and the receiving, the doing your part and opening to receive the response. It's as if you could imagine the infinity sign, you know, the eight on its side, the infinity sign. And on one side is you doing and giving, and on the other side is spirit or the universe or the angels responding. And right in the middle of that eight loop is where everything comes together. So you do your effort and give, and spirit does its effort and responds, and it comes together in that magical place in the middle. And let's focus on that a little bit in the meditation today. What a great question. Thank you, Wendy. I'm making a note. Beautiful. And let's see. Kay has an interesting one about relationships. This is, it's pretty personal. I hope it's okay, Kay, that I read this, but it's also a wonderful example of this divine timing versus human effort thing. Kay says, I believe my marriage has been over for 2 years, yet I'm still with my husband. I believe we will separate within the next year. We have children, and I feel like the time will come that we can make the split on the best of terms. Is this procrastination, or am I listening to my guidance? What a great question. Only you and your soul and God really know that answer, Kay. You and your angels, your divine support team, are the only ones that know that answer to that. And particularly when such enormous life changes are in play and children are involved, we do need to be patient. We do need to listen to our inner guidance and trust. And it's probably not procrastination. It's probably preparing you so that you can separate on the best of terms, which will be more supportive to all of you. Now, there are instances where that's not true. There are instances where you need to leave at the soonest possible moment. And I'm just going to use an example. If you're in a relationship where you're being abused, you may need to just leave now without any kind of planning or anything. Just go to save your life and the lives of your children. So again, this is such a unique and personal question. Thank you, Kay, for asking that. And Teresa, so many of us are at the crossroads right now. Teresa says, I'm at a crossroads to go back to work I was doing or to start a new life in faith that all will be provided. I feel that if I go back to the old, I will get swallowed up in the dark world of finance. She's on a medical leave for blood pressure. My soul says to move on. How can I find the faith at this point in time to walk away and know that I will be taken care of in every way? That is such an important question, Teresa. We're going to work on that in the meditation. What a good question. I'm just making a note here so I remember to come to this in the meditation. my pen down. Oh, I can do this. You know, it's been, oh, Teresa, it's been like that for me a few times. As I've gone through financial challenges, working my way into my new life, I've had to have a tremendous amount of faith, and I've actually sacrificed quite a lot. There was a time a few years ago where I did have to go back into finance, and I had to get a corporate job for a debt management company that was very difficult and challenging for me, and it was an enormous educational opportunity. So whatever happens, everything that happens can become a fabulous growing in it and growing and evolving process, but we do need to know when to move on. And Teresa is asking this question. Teresa says, I live more in touch with the divine and have had a major shift, yet many people surrounding me cannot fully understand that I truly see life from a different point of view. They still go back to old memories. My marriage of 24 years is troubled. I want to serve the higher good. So when and what do I need to know before moving on? That's the thing, you know, we can come to the place within us where it becomes clear that it's time to move on. Now, for me, I had trouble learning this, and I lingered in relationships and jobs way beyond the point where it was time to let go and move on. But only we can know this, and it was only by lingering too long that I learned to understand when I was getting the signs to change now. And it was through these experiences that I had that were not so pleasant where I learned how to understand and receive the guidance that was being given to me. And to give you, I know what I've said a lot is pretty dark and scary, but to give you encouragement, as I've learned to recognize the symbols that are coming to me, as I've had the faith and the courage to say yes, regardless of what it seemed to look like, the most remarkable things have happened. And particularly in the last few months, as I had the courage to say yes to the Angel Ministry Program, all of a sudden my life has turned around in ways that are just so remarkable. The more I say yes and respond immediately to the guidance that's coming in, the more incredible, wonderful, loving, and everything else I can possibly imagine, it's just been wonderful. So I'm encouraging you to find some way to say trust and say yes, to trust and say yes with discernment and wisdom. That's really the key. So I'm going to open the phone line in here just a few minutes and take some callers, and then shortly we're going to go to meditation. So are you ready? So the call lines are open, and who would like to ask a question about this?
This is Maggie.
Hey, Maggie.
I know what my ministry is. I'm clear of what I'm supposed to do, but it's not working. So I'm stuck in that place of, okay, what am I doing now? Can you give me any thoughts on which direction to look at?
I have to say that I know Maggie well. I love her. She's actually one of my very best friends in life. And this is a question that troubles me about you, wondering how I can help you. And even now, we'll have to see what happens in the meditation, Maggie.
Great.
But it's the angel Shamuel, the angel of adoration, that is guiding you right now. She's guiding you into more self-love, more love in life, more love with your family. And I know that this is something that you are working on that's very important to you. But to let yourself, and I also know that you're in one of these stripping away periods. We have to let ourselves willingly go through this stripping away. We don't like it. You know, we're not required to like it. I certainly don't like it when I'm being whittled away at. If we can be willing, though, in this stripping away process, like you, Maggie, you're being called ever deeper into more love with your husband, with your children, with God, with your clients, and with yourself.
Okay.
And so it's Shemuel, the beautiful angel of adoration, that's teaching you how to switch over to self-love, how to be filled with this presence, so that when you go to bookstores and fairs, you are attracting, you have so much love in your heart that you are attracting people to you from that love. It's radiating out from you, and they're being attracted to you.
Sure.
And in order to do that, we have to endure the unpleasant experience of having the parts of ourselves be exposed that we don't like and letting them willingly be stripped away so that only love remains.
Okay.
Only this presence of adoration, the softness that you want. I know you want this.
Mm-hmm. But I'm about ready to walk away and give it up because I'm like, it isn't working. I'm sitting there going, okay, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? So, okay, I'll work on that one. Thank you.
Yeah, I understand. And I hope that the meditation today will bring some more awareness.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love you, Maggie.
Love you too, dear. God bless.
Who else has a question that they'd like to ask?
Hello?
Yes, who's this?
Hi, my name is Ruben.
Hey, Ruben.
Hi. The question I have is, how can you call Archangel to be like part of your counsel or your guide on like a daily basis or a weekly basis? Or basically, you know, for like different projects that you want to fulfill in your life.
Mm-hmm. What a great question. The simplest way is to just ask them.
It can
actually be quite simple. You just ask them and you call to them. We'll be calling Archangel Gabriel today, and you'll get an idea of how to do that. It can be very simple. It's mostly an attitude in your heart. It's a desire in your heart for them to be present. It's a willingness to listen to the information that they want to provide. And Maggie, I know you're doing this. I know that you're open every day and you're seeking. And sometimes it just takes a while. We have to be patient. We have to keep asking and seeking and trying things.
I want it now.
Yeah, I know that.
That's my impatient child who's always run my life.
Yeah, well, it may be time that you have to let go of that one.
I got it. Thank you.
So, Ruben, we're going to do that today in the meditation.
Okay.
And a lot of times we make it up in our mind that it's way more complicated than it actually is.
Okay, well, thank you.
It's mostly an attitude of openness, willingness, and receptivity.
Okay.
And you'll get an experience in the meditation.
All right.
Does that help?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. Because the angels are more than happy to respond, and it's up to us to begin to recognize how they're trying to respond to us.
Okay.
Okay, Ruben?
Yes, yes. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yoel wants to know who's guiding him tonight. So, Yoel, let me find your angel. So for Yoel, it's Fortunata, the angel of prosperity, and I know she'll be welcome for you. She's guiding you into discovering that wealth that's within you and also helping in your life. So as we go through the meditation, Yoel, tonight, be open to how she's going to guide you. And Rob in Sacramento says, I'm being challenged physically and financially, and I don't even want to talk about it for fear of attracting more of it. I've surrendered. I don't know quite what to do. I just keep walking towards what I want in my life. I feel like I have to break through something. I'm just not sure what it is. I'm not receiving any info I feel is understandable. When I pray and meditate, I get a lot of jumbled images, not really any clear cognizance. I feel like I'm losing my passion for what I love doing, and I'm feeling very tired. Well, Rob, I hear you, and I understand that. You are in the stripping away process that I was talking about earlier. Please know that this is soul-guided, Rob. You don't have to like it. A lot of times all that is asked is that we simply tolerate and endure it and survive it. That was my goal when I went through that second major stripping away. My goal was to survive the stripping away process. And so sometimes it's just like that. Sometimes the best we can do is focus on getting through it any way we can. And let's have an angel for you to help with this, Rob. So for you, it's the angel of gratitude, to find gratitude for what's happening. Yoel has become a master of this. Like you, Rob, Yoel in Poland has gone through just a remarkable stripping away process the last year that's been very uncomfortable. Physically, financially, it's been really difficult for him. And the whole way through, Yoel has mastered the quality of deep soul gratitude for everything that's happening, even though he doesn't like it. And so I'm encouraging you to begin to find gratitude for anything, whatever little thing you can find gratitude for. Embrace soulful, heartful, the feeling, the experience of gratitude to help pull you through this. And we'll see where that takes you in your meditation. L'Oreal in New York is also going through this stripping away process, and she has been for quite some time. For her, it's anxiety and overwhelm and panic. She can't make good decisions. She's not sleeping, and she's scared. So how does she let go? What does she do with that? And so let's find some help for you, L'Oreal. It's the Freedom card. The Freedom Angel, Nisroch, the Freedom Angel, is helping you to find freedom from the anxiety and the fear and the overwhelm that you suffer from. So if you're going through this stripping away process, you have these four amazing angels to help you. The Angel of Adoration, helping you to come to that deep soul state of adoration that already exists within you. We have Fortunata, the Angel of Prosperity, guiding you toward the fortune of soul and spirit that you're seeking in your soul purpose, and also through what you need in life to take care of yourself. We have the Angel of Gratitude teaching us to connect with prosperity through the quality of gratitude. And we have the Angel of Freedom helping us to make those breakthroughs that Rob and L'Oreal and many of you need at this time. Let me just take a quick look through the other messages that have come in. Oh, Chris wants to share something with us. That's nice. I want to read this. This is Chris from Maryland. Says, I have just had the experience of learning that resistance offers different messages depending on our need. I learned that a portion of the resistance stuckness I had was telling me that I was misplacing my focus and needed to move it over. My level of experience and comfort with the direction of my focus is not yet strong enough to provide the service I was trying to offer. I've been shown that there is a better focus for me that would meet the desires of others while also giving me the time to develop the comfort level and experience I need. There may be thank you, Chris, for sharing this. So resistance and stuckness is sometimes trying to redirect us. Sometimes it's trying to get our attention that we need more information and training, like Chris was just saying. Sometimes it's saying, no, don't go this way. And sometimes the purpose is just to help wear down some of those qualities of our ego and our personality that we really need to move through and let go of, get rid of, before we can move on into our soul purpose. Thank you, Chris. So one more, let's take one more share, and then we're going to go into the, or question, and then we're going to go into the meditation. Who has a burning question?
Big Lacey Alone.
Who's this? Who is this speaking? Sounded like somebody was on a speakerphone. Okay. Who else has a question, a burning question, burning desire?
I have a question if no one else has one.
Yes. Who is this?
Oh, this is Ruben.
Ruben. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in a job search. And I'd like to call the angels to help me with my job search.
Excellent. Let's get an angel to help. Everyone who's in job searches, this is for you. And thank you, Ruben, for asking this question.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
So we're going to have a job search angel. Love. Hadraniel, the angel of love. It is so important to be focused within yourself in a state of presence of love, so that you can get a job doing something that you would enjoy. And, you know, sometimes we just need to take anything. I have a good friend, I hope she's on the call today, who at the age of 50 just took a job at McDonald's because she had to get some money moving to pay her mortgage. She took a job at McDonald's. And while it's not the best thing for her, and she certainly won't be a long-time job, she loved herself enough to do whatever she needed to do in the moment to take care of her life. So this love can come from many different directions. It can be the love of yourself, being willing to do whatever you need to do right now in this moment to pay your mortgage or your rent and have groceries. And it could be that you have the leisure of finding a job that you truly love. And my friend is moving in that direction too. But like many of you, she's in the place where she doesn't know what her purpose is. She doesn't know what her calling is. She doesn't know what to do. So love, what we truly, deeply love, is one of the clues that we can follow. So, let's go into the meditation, shall we?